So here I'm talking about soil water retention. The main thing is basing it as much as possible on the actual processes that going on that are going on. So goals. I started this with the motivation to model the very wet range close to saturation, which we do not have good representations of. We don't have much data for. And I discovered that, well, it leads to the range next lower down, and that leads to the next one. So I've worked on the total range from oven dryness to saturation. It's also, okay, as I mentioned, based the math on the dominant physical processes to the extent possible. And I want the parameters to have a strong physical interpretation. And of course, there are compromises necessary when we have, to maintain practical usability. It's got to be mathematically tractable, easy to code, and that sort of thing. And finally, it's restricted in a way that it's, I'm studying, in effect, the soil matrix material. So this is material without macropores. Macropores are separate, and we have a finite maximum pore size. So three ranges here. The dry range, where the water is primarily in the form of adsorbed films, and in very tiny, held in tiny crevices. And the dominant process here I consider to be adsorption. Then the middle range is what we, most of us spend most of our time on, where some pores are filled with water, some are filled with air, and you have a continuous air phase as well as water phase. And so the dominant process is the capillary filling and emptying of these pores. Then the wet range, where all the pores are water-filled except where air is trapped. So this is the region between the air entry value and saturation, where the psi equals zero. And the dominant effect here is I consider to be expansion and contraction of the trapped air, but that has secondary effects, like bubbles can coalesce, releasing a certain amount of water that was bridging between them. So there's just a little bit more to it. For the dry range, I'm actually using nothing new, but logarithmic relation, analogous to the Kelvin relation, or Kelvin equation that's been used by many people for a long time, straightforward logarithmic relation, and two parameters here. However, what this parameter, psi d, is the matrix potential at oven dryness, which we don't have to fit because we know it from the definition and from thermodynamics. It's about 1,000 megapascals. And so that leaves just one parameter, the alpha, and alpha is known to be quite strongly related to the specific surface area of the medium. The area that films can form on. So that plus the thickness gives you a volumetric retention. In the mid-range, I'm using a log normal distribution function, cumulative log normal, which has is conveniently expressed in terms of the error function here. And this has also been used by a lot of people. It's important to note that it's not not logarithmic directly in matrix potential, that what we have is basically a normal distribution of a log transformed variable related to matrix potential. So this is this function V of psi is a transform that maps psi onto a logarithmic scale. In the next slide, I show various ways of dealing with that. This is Brutzert in 66 used a transform that applies down to a finite minimum value of matrix potential. And so, of course, that corresponds to a minimum pore size below which we don't have capillary phenomena anymore, which makes a lot of sense. Kosugi also did it in the other direction. He has a transform here that has a maximum pore size, and so a finite maximum matrix potential. So that's, which of course is analogous to an air entry value. And this is also a good idea, at least for the conditions I'm studying, where we have a medium that doesn't have the macropores, so it does have a maximum pore size. So what I need is both a minimum and maximum of this range that the log normal distribution applies to. So I used a transform that has both a minimum and maximum. And this is just the simplest function I could come up with that actually does it. So a little more complicated, but it's workable. The wet range, there's not much out there and not much, we don't have much data. So I started with the idea of Boyle's law. So Boyle's law, relation between the volume of the trapped air and the pressure as the matrix potential, say, decreases from zero, then there's less. In effect, the air pressure needs to become a little greater, or it needs to expand the bubble a little bit. So that volumetric relation is quite simple. This diagram kind of explains some of it. So traditional way of modeling water retention between air entry and saturation, or field saturation, is to just have a flat curve, just level. Well, Boyle's law, it shouldn't really be flat. It's got some slope to it, like this dashed curve here. And so, but you compare to the data sets that are out there, the best data sets we have, you almost always get a greater slope than Boyle's law predicts. And this is, as I mentioned, there are secondary effects like liquid water bridges that break up as the air expands. So for that, I've got a simple enhancement factor, just a factor typically greater than 1. We multiply this Boyle's law effect by to get the total matrix potential. So, summarizing, it's a full range model in 3 subranges. And so you see the formulas here. Also, these are joined. The joining of different equations at a point is very important, important to consider how to do it. So in this, I've joined achieving a smooth joint by constraining the derivatives of the two curves coming together. The derivatives have to be equal at that junction point, as well as the curves themselves are equal. So it's not a one-line formula, but it does fit on one slide, and it is quite easy to code. So examples of some of the fits. This is some full, very wide range data from Campbell and Shiozawa, the Walla Walla silt loam, and here their data points are the circles. Model fit in its 3 parts is shown here, and this is a very good illustration because they went so close to oven dryness, and they've got the whole middle range. It illustrates very well how you have this capillary behavior that gives a different mathematical form from the dry range absorption behavior here. They did not have any data in the wet range above air entry, so got to look at other media. And there's the Rideau clay loam from Clark Top, which has all 3 ranges represented with some data. This also fits very well. You see the dry range clearly, the mid range, which has the biggest change in water content, and then the wet range does have a distinct non-zero slope to it. Finally, to look more closely at the wet range, I took some data from my own PhD thesis for plain field sand, where not much dry range, but I've got the wet and middle ranges And you can see that, again, it fits pretty well. If you, I don't know if it's easy to see from the audience distance, but this does have a slight positive slope, and it's in fact a factor of 2 greater than what we'd predict from Boyle's law. So the as I said, interpretation of parameters physically is, I believe, very important. So this is how it comes out. We've got in the dry range this one parameter, alpha, approximately proportional to specific surface. That's a solid interpretation. And then there's a transition point from adsorption to capillary dominance. And this, of course, doesn't happen at a single point. It happens over a range where the two processes overlap to some degree. But you can consider, say, the midpoint of that range of overlap as this value psi sub m. And then in the mid-range, we've got 2 free parameters which are related to the transformed log normal distribution function. So one of these, just the median size of capillary pores, and then the geometric standard deviation of the range of capillary pores. And finally, in the wet range, we've got another transition point, transition from capillary to trapped air dominance. This has a cleaner definition. This would simply be the air entry value. And finally, the one parameter for the wet range only, and that's this susceptibility of the soil to secondary effects related to expansion of bubbles. So, concluding, the model fits realistically pretty well. I should mention that admittedly, I've got 6 free parameters, so it's not hard to come up with a formula that with 6 parameters you can fit the data very well. So that's not the main thing of importance, but other things are. Novel features, it's got a log normal fit between 2 psi values. So it's a defined range of capillarity, which I believe corresponds quite well. Where you do have a maximum pore size, it corresponds to the physical reality. And finally, for the wet range, this enhanced Boyle's law representation, which solves a lot of problems. If you try to use the zero slope model, you get diffusivity goes to infinity and all sorts of unrealistic things. So this, I think, is very helpful in that. And it's more complex than most models, but advantages can outweigh that. The realism, the strong interpretation of parameter values, which affords good possibilities for getting these parameter values other than by empirical fits to data, to retention data, but some of them are grounded in physical processes that we can formulate independently. And finally, this wet range quantification, my original motivation, I believe, will be very useful for a lot of wet range phenomena, including macropore matrix interactions. These interactions are really important, and it's the physics of it goes on, for the most part, at high water contents. When you've got water in the macropores, your matrix is very wet. So this is a critical controlling factor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. We have time for one question.
Hi, John. You said the 6 parameters.
It can be. Yeah. I'm for the purpose of these fits, I was using data sets where that was already known. But yes, you can make it 7 parameters. You could also, the porosity can be independent of the field saturation water content. So it's like most models, like the Van Genuchten model, you have a version of, you can fit 2 parameters, 1 parameter, 3 parameters, 4 parameters. So I chose here for varying the ones that you typically have to get just from the retention data.